Contrary to the title of the shiur, which is When Enemies Collaborate, Our Solution to the Problems in the Middle East, this shiur is not about politics. And I hope that was clear from the outset, that this is not a political forum to speak about the issues in the Middle East and how they affect us here in America, etc. Although I'd like to start with an article that was sent out by Jonathan Rosenblum, and I think it was printed in this past week's Yated Ne'eman. And he writes, an article entitled, What to Do About Shtehot, which is unfortunately the area in Eretz Yisrael right now which is being bombarded by Qassam rockets. And he says that two things are ever clearer about the current situation in Sderot. The first is that it is intolerable. And the second, that nobody has any clear idea of what to do about it. Now he's writing his article from a political standpoint. And he says they are shrugging their shoulders and they are coming to dead ends in terms of what to do. Whatever Israel would do, retaliate too much, it would be bad for them. Retaliate too little, it's also bad for them. There's no good answer, he says. He just writes about, again, the imbalance of the world's view to the Arab nations, and they're always looked at as the victims, and we're looked at as the bullies, and that is how it's been for many, many decades already in Eretz Yisrael. He says, 2 weeks ago, under heavy Qassam fire from Gaza, over half of Shderot's 24,000 citizens had fled the city. And it's unfortunate that we live here in America and we are insensitive to this. And one reason is, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out, that when you're not on the scene, and if you don't see it, if you don't see the tzara, if you don't see the anguish, if you don't see the terrible situation that people are going through, it's very hard to feel for them. It's very hard to be involved. So much so, he says, that's why Yaakov Avinu told Yosef, he says, I buried your mother Rachel on the road in Beis Lechem, so when the children will go out in exile, she will see them and she will daven for them. So he asks, well, Rachel Imenu can't daven from with Maris HaMachpelah, she can't daven from Yerushalayim, when her children are going out to exile. Does anyone have more mercy for the Jewish people than Rachel Imenu? But he says, no, you see, she has to be at Beis Lechem, she has to be there on the road watching it happen. If she's watching what happened, then her tefillos will be what they have to be. You see, by the Melchama of Amalek, the war with Amalek, the same was true. It says the Yeshua was sent out as the general. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that I am going L'Rosh HaGiva. Moshe went up to the mountain. Why did Moshe have to go to the mountain? Because he wanted to daven to Hashem. If Moshe would have stood on the ground and daven to Hashem, I think he would have reached Hashem also. Why did he have to go to the top of the mountain? So the Ramban says because Moshe Rabbeinu had to watch what was going on. He had to see the war in action, and then his tefillos will be strong. So what could be said about us that we hear these stories? Perhaps that's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that you can get footage now. You actually could see what's happening. You don't only have to hear it, but you could see it. You could see it in real time. You could see it happening in present time of things going on. Just to help us, at least give us an inkling to what our unfortunate Achenu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are going through. But this is really part of an overall issue, and Chas V'Shalom, not to blame Jonathan Rosenblum in his article, but he's trying to say that there is no political answer and there's no answer to the problems we're having in Eretz Yisrael. But the truth is, there is an answer. And that wasn't his point, and that's not the point of his article. And he knows that's true. But he knows the answer also. Rabbi Chana Wasserman, the great Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, he writes an article about Ikvas in the Meshicha. What will happen when the footsteps of Mashiach are coming closer. And he says, if you want to know the answers to all of the things that are happening, from one perspective, he says, the Torah says, "V'hayisa mishuga mimareina," that you will be totally confused, you'll be crazed by the sights that are beheld before your eyes. That's what the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo says in the Tochach and the rebuke in Parshas Kisavo. That if you don't have the right perspective, you will be meshuga. You will be crazed, frustrated beyond belief to what's before your eyes. He says, however, if one looks into the words of the Torah, he says that everything is clear. Everything is clear. You will know exactly what's going on. You will know exactly what's happening and what's going to happen and what the solutions are. He says, particularly if you go in the time of the Ikvus of the Mashiach, which is the transition period between the end of the Golus, the exile, and the beginning of the final redemption. He says, if you look into the Torah, if you look into the Psukim, and you learn them up correctly, he said, you will have the answers. So it just pays just for that, to discuss for a few minutes tonight how the Torah predicts and describes everything that's going to happen in the end of days, and everything that is happening today is really explicit in the Torah itself. So if we gain no more than just more respect and greater awe for the Torah, that you see it spells it all out and gives us all the answers and maps out exactly what's going to happen in Acharas Hayomim, in the end of days, which we are going through now, then it will have been well worth it to go through this year. But the Torah, of course, has the answers as well. It tells us what to do. After it describes what's happening, it tells us also how to deal with these problems. We gave out a handout, and I think this is important to be able to appreciate. In order to appreciate what the Torah is trying to tell us, and the description of all the events, it really pays to see it inside. And much of it is all in the original Hebrew, without a translation. I apologize for that, but if it'll be difficult, but again, a lot of it has to be appreciated with the Lashon HaKodesh that it's written in. Bilam, the prophet, when he speaks in Parshas Balak, his prophecy, his mishalom, as the Torah tells us, a pasuk in Parshas Balak, Perachav Dala, Perachav Gimel, says, Vayisa mishaloi vayyemar. He said his parable, he said his oracle, and he stated, Oi, mi yichye misumai el. Oi, we thought it was a Yiddish word. Really, here it's in the Torah in Parshas Balak. Oi means woe, means alas. Mi yichye misumai el. What does those words mean? Mi yichye misumai kel? And Rashi has an interpretation. If you go to the next page in your handout, the Chazal in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Lamed tells us, Omar Bilam, this is what Bilam was saying by this pasuk. Mishivim l'shayne shabor HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'i lamay. Out of all 70 languages and of the 70 nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, lo'isam shemay la'acham yam, he didn't place his own name into one of them except for Yisrael. El Eli Yisrael. We are called Yisrael. So we have Hashem's name, Aleph Lamed, the all-powerful one, the almighty one. We have his name in our name. However, Hoyel v'hishva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmai Shel Yishmael, the Shmai Shel Yisrael, when Hashem then also named the second nation with his name, and that was Yishmael, Oy, then a groan goes out, a krechts goes out. Mi yichya biyamav, who will be able to live in his days when Yishmael lives? Shenemar, as Bilam said, this was the prophecy that Bilam was saying. Mi yichya misu moikel, who could live? Who will be able to withstand this, the misumov, and the fact that Hashem put his name in the name of Yishmael? And we're going to try to go through the next few minutes to try to understand who Yishmael is, what is he made up of, what is his essence, what is his power, why he was given this power, and what there is for us to do about it. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. Perech of Aleph. After Yishmael is born, after Yitzchak is born, in Pasuk Tes, I don't believe you start with Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Tes, it tells us Vatera Sarah es ben Hagar Amitzris Asher Yolda Lavram Mitzachek, that Sarah saw that Yishmael, the one who was born to Hagar, the Egyptian, was mitzachek. And Rashi says mitzachek means he was involved in Avodah Zorah and Gula Yerayah, Shvichas Damim. And she said to Avram, Vatomel Avram, Goresh Ha'oma Hazayis Ve'ezbena, I want you to exile, kick out this son of the maidservant, Ve'ezbena and her son. Throw out Hagar from the house, Ve'ezbena and her son. Ki lo Yirash Ben Ha'oma Hazayis, I don't want this maidservant's son, I don't want Yishmael, Yirash, to inherit in Bnei Im Yitzchok, with my son Yitzchok. So Rashi says, inherit, who's talking about inherit? I mean, we see he was doing some Averis. So Rashi says, in the fourth line over here, Mitshuva Sarah, from the answer that Sarah gave, Ki lo Yirash ben Hama Azais in Bnei Atalama, you hear what was going on over here. You learn Shahya Meiravim Yitzchok, you see that Yishmael was already at this point the debating and disputing Yitzchak Avinu al Hayirusha. At this point already, he was saying, "I'm entitled. Why? Ani bechor v'netu pishnayim. I'm the eldest son of Avram Avinu, so I'm entitled to more than you, Yitzchak." So already at this point, he was fighting for more land and more inheritance. It started already when Yishmael was with Yitzchak. And strangely enough, Rabbeinu Bachya says that when Avram did listen to Sarah's prophecy and Sarah's word, and he did kick out his beloved son, because he did love Yishmael, and when he did kick him out, together with his wife Hagar, the Torah tells us that Vayashkem Avram Baboker Vayikach Lechem V'chemes Mayim. He took some bread, he took a flask of water, and he sent them off. Avram Avinu was a wealthy man. He had a lot of cattle, he had a lot of wealth. He could have sent them off royally. And it says he gave them simply bread and water, and he sent them off. And this is Avram Avinu, the epitome of Baal Chesed. He was the Baal Chesed of the world. And yet, this is all he's sending him off with. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, where it's underlined the second time, V'husha Avram Avinu b'mare hanavua. That's because Avram foresaw through prophecy, Shasidim banav lishtabed tachas yidei Yishmael. He saw that in the future we are going to be in servitude under the hand of Yishmael, the Chayisnu Oisa, that he's going to hate us. Sina Gedela, a great hatred. She'ein Uma Ba'olam Shiyusaynim LiYisrael Kebnei Yishmael. There's going to be no nation that ever did or ever will, Avram Avinu saw, hate us as much as Yishmael hates us. And therefore, Rabbeinu Bachya goes on to explain, as the Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei suggests, that you feed your enemy simply bread and water. And at this time, Avram Avinu understood there has to be, now that he was apprised by Sarah Imenu who Yishmael really is, he had to act as an enemy with him. This is our arch enemy. And with an arch enemy, you deal differently. Differently even if he's your own son. And therefore the Torah says, And as Rabbeinu Bachya explains, that's why he only sent him out with simply bread and water. If we go earlier, Parshas Lech Lecha, when Yishmael is first born, the Torah describes who Yishmael is and what his essence is. In Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yud Beis in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah tells us, "V'hu yiyeh pere adam." Pere is a wild donkey, a young wild donkey. So he is a wild donkey man. He's a pere adam. He's a wild man, a wild beast. He's pere, but he's adam. Yaday Bakarla's hand will be in everything. Some suggest what these words mean. Yaday Bakarla's hand is in everything. V'yad koil bay. And if you look on the side, the Targum Unkelus, he explains it, that hu yehitzarech l'kayla, he will need everyone, he will have to come on to everyone, but v'idad v'bnei enosh yein tzrichen lei. But all of mankind will have to need him as well. And where do we see that? We need them, they need us, that's the way it's going to be. This is in Parshas Lech Lecha. It foretells everything over here. But it's interesting that we call him a pere adam. For those that no grammatical Hebrew, and this many point this out, the Maral Diskin, the Chafetz Chaim, that when you want to describe something, so you could describe the item, and then if you want to give an adjective, you wanted to give a description to that thing, so that comes second. For example, a table is a shulchan. And if you want to say a big table, so what do you say? Shulchan gadol. It's a big table. You say the item first, and then comes the adjective. And here you see, by Yishmael, it's not the case. Yishmael is not an Adam Pere. The Torah does not describe him. He's a man who is wild, who has like a wild streak in him. But rather, he is a Pere Adam. And the Chafetz Chaim went so far to say that there will be nations that will try to tame, that will try to civilize Yishmael. But it will not work. The Chafetz Chaim said, we understand from Pera Adam this will be forever. Forever Yishar Yishmael Pera Adam, he will always remain as such. And he says, even if the civilized nations will try, they'll try to make a democracy and they'll try to change them, he says it will not work. And he gave a krecht and he says, oy, mi yodei amaha pera adam azeh oid olu la'asais la'am Yisrael ba'acharis hayamim. This is the Chafetz Chaim talking. 70, 80 years ago. And he's saying, he already knows, he gives a krecht. He said the same oy as the Torah said, of who knows what Yishmael will yet do to us in the end of days. Now when we're talking about when enemies collaborate, we're not talking about enemies in various countries, but all under the banner of Yishmael. The Torah lets us in on another secret. And the enemies that combine with each other and connect with each other is Yishmael with Esav. Where do we see this? In the end of Parshas Toldos. The end of Parshas Toldos, in Perachov Ches, Pasuk Vav at first, it says, Vayar Esav Kivera Yitzchok Es Yaakov. Yitzchok Avinu blesses Yaakov and sends him off, and the older brother Esav sees it. And he decides he's going to have to make his next move. And his next move is the last pasuk in Parshas Toldos, Perachov Ches, Pasuk Tes, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav went to Yishmael. Vayikach, and he took, he married as Mochlas Bas Yishmael ben Avram, Achois Nevoyos, Al Noshav Loy Leisha. Esav married Yishmael. And Esav and Yishmael here, what they had in mind, as the Vilna Gaon explains, is they wanted to team up. They wanted to team up together to destroy what he calls the Seid HaKadusha, the Seid of Yaakov, to destroy all holiness in this world and destroy Yaakov Avinu. They saw Yitzchak blessed Yaakov. They said, our only hope now, Esav said, is if we join together. That's why in the Slichas that we say on the Monday, Thursday, Monday Slichas, we now will understand when we ask Hashem, Kalei Seir v'choisna v'yalu l'tziyam eishiyim, which translates on the left side if you've seen this page of the Slichas. We ask Hashem to destroy Seir, which is referring to Esav, and his father-in-law, which is who? Which is Yishmael. As the Torah tells us in the end of Parashas Toldos, Esav married the daughter of Yishmael. So we ask Hashem, destroy Esav and Yishmael. These are the enemies that came together. Just this morning, someone shared with me another Vilna Gaon. There's a Perek in Tehillim, which has become more popular since the troubles in Eretz Yisrael has started, and it's Perek Ayin Tes, which is also ironic because it's a Perek that one of the children of Korach composed. Mizmor LaAsaf, Asaf being one of the children of Yishmael, one of them who was saved, who did Shuv at the end. Of Korach, yes, thank you. And Asaf says, Mizmor LaAsaf Elokim, he prays to Hashem, Bo Goyim Nachal Asecha, that the nations, the Goyim, have come into our land, Timu Asecha Kochecha, and have defiled the Beis HaMikdash, Samu Es Yerushalayim Li'iyim, and they have turned Yerushalayim into ruins, into a heap of rubble. That's Le'iyim. Iyim is spelled Ayin Yud Yud Mem. So the Vilna Gaon writes that who is this referring to? Iyim. Who is the ones who are going to go on Yerushalayim and make sure the Yerushalayim turns into a heap of rubble? So Ayin is who? Esav. And Yud is? Yishmael. I was able to figure that one out also. What's the Yud and the Mem? So Vilna Gaon writes that we don't know Esav as Esav anymore. And we don't know Yishmael as Yishmael anymore. The Yud, he says, stands for Yeshu. And the Mem stands for Muhammad. So the Vilna Gaon, 300 years ago, explained that this is what David HaMelech was saying. That our problems didn't end at Yishmael. But they started there, and now they combined with Esav. And we know all too well when Yaakov Avinu davened, "Atzilenu miyad Achi miyad Esav." When he comes as Esav, wants to destroy me, save me, Hashem. When he comes as Achi, he's nice to me. He wants to fund me. He wants to give us money. He wants to send people to Eretz Yisrael. Always have to watch out. Now we understand that these two enemies have joined forces. We now understand. When you go to the end of the Torah now, Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu's final words to Klal Yisrael, and he says to us that if you will do tshuva, if you will mend your ways, then V'nosan Hashem Elokecha Eskola Oyla Ha'ala Yisra'ele, then Hashem will put all of these curses Aloyivecha V'al Seinecha Asher Redavucha. If we change our ways, we do tshuva, then Hashem will take all of the curses that He had intended to frighten us with in Parshas Kisavai, then come to Parshas Nitzavim, the Parsha of tshuva, you do tshuva, Hashem says, I will take all of those curses and I will place them aloyvecha v'alsenecha on your enemies, asher devucha, that are chasing you. The Torah doesn't use extra words. It's not like a speech, just use extra words for dramatic purposes. Why does it say al oyevecha ve'al seinecha? What's the difference between an oyev, which is an enemy, and a seine, which is an enemy? Says Rabbeinu Bachya. You turn to the next page. In the small print is Rabbeinu Bachya. Uma shehisker oyevecha, that's al Yishmael. V'seinecha, that's al Esav. In the end of days, Hashem is saying that when you do tshuva, then those who will be your enemies in the end of days, namely Yishmael and Esav, Hashem says, I will put all of the curses on them. And he goes on to explain the difference between an oyev and a seine. Greater is the hatred that the oyev, the enemy called oyev, has over the seine. Even though he will want to harm you, there will be an element of mercy when he attacks. He has an eternal hatred. He has no mercy. This is an enemy that has no mercy. They are brutal. That's why it's called an oyev. An oyev is an enemy, he says, from the same words as oy vavoy. And that word oy, which is sometimes the only thing that you can do when this enemy attacks. When we understand it this way, things fall into place. Yishmael, the root word of Yishmael is what? Shema. The root word of Esav comes from the word Asay, to do. When we stood at Har Sinai and we said to Hashem that we are ready to Na'aseh v'nishma, that was our strength. That was our strength that gave us strength throughout the rest of history. And comes along Yishmael and comes along Esav to try to battle this Na'aseh v'nishma. That's Yishmael and that's Esav. But the Maral asks a very important question. And it says that something that many people asked. We seem to be learning that Yishmael is this enemy which comes in the end of days. He says that this is a great omission in everything that preceded this. We know, if you go back to Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram Avinu was told that your children are going to exile to Mitzrayim. And they'll go through that and they'll come out. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells them, V'gam es ha-goy asher yavoidu don anochi, the nation that has put them into slavery, I will judge. V'gam, whatever it says in the Torah, it comes to include. And Rashi right over there tells us, V'gam, and also, Avram Avinu was shown then the next four exiles. Namely, the exile of Bavel, of Madai, of Yavon, and of Edom. Bavel, the Babylonian Empire, Madai, the Persian Empire, Yavon, the Greek Empire, Edom, the Roman Empire. What happened to Yishmael? What happened to the empire of Yishmael? It's missing. It's not there. It wasn't told in the prophecy to Avram Avinu. So this is what the Maral says. Many people asked. Yesh b'nei Adam Shailim, there are people who ask, Hechen Ramaz Malchus Yishmael? Shu Malchus Rabbezim Takifa is such a strong kingdom, it's such a strong empire, yet there's no mention that there is this empire called Yishmael. And he explains that the reason that is because the empires, the kingdoms of the other nations are only kingdoms who took it away, who usurped it, or conquered it from the Jewish kingdom. We once had kings in Eretz Yisrael. Came along Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, the king of Babel, and he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, destroyed the kingdom of Yisrael, and sent us into exile, and then he became the king. So he now is the king in place of Yisrael. And so too, that's what happened. The Persians then defeated the Nebuchadnezzar, the Greeks then defeated them, and then the Romans finally defeated the Greeks. But it's all the Malchus, it's all the kingdom of the Jews, who now is taken away and put into different hands. He says, but Yishmael doesn't work with that. They don't operate as a king, as a kingdom, as an empire, waiting for someone else to fall, and then they come to rise. As we know, Yaakov and Esav, Rashi tells us, and Parshas told us, when one will fall, the other will rise, and vice versa. But Yishmael, he's under the radar screen. He doesn't work that way. There is a nevuah that Daniel, and you have a copy of it on the next page, Daniel describes the four exiles. And he compares them in his dream, in his vision, his nevuah, he compares them to four beasts. And the first three, we know exactly what the beast is, and therefore he knows exactly which galus, which empire it's referring to. The first is the lion, which refers to Babel. The second is the bear, which refers to Persia. The third being the leopard, which is the Greek Empire. And then the fourth beast, he says he saw this beast exceedingly terrifying, awesome and strong. This is in Perek Zayin and Daniel. And he describes this beast, and there's a big discussion amongst the Rishayin and the Rabban, Devin Ezra, who is this fourth beast? Is it referring to Yishmael, perhaps? Is it referring to Edom, Rome? And there's a discussion about it. Who it's referring to. And the Maharal explains, and really the Ramban already says this in Parshas Balak, that the fourth beast cannot be referring to Yishmael. You can't understand that the fourth beast in Daniel's prophecy is referring to Yishmael, because Yishmael is not referred to as a beast. What is Yishmael referred to? When we learned in Parshas Vayera, what was it, Lech Lecha? Pere Adam. So yes, Pere is a type of beast. It is a wild donkey. But when it comes to Yishmael, he's called an Adam. And therefore, these Mepharshim explain that it can't be referring to that fourth beast. Even though it's a bit unknown and unclear who it is, it can't be referring to Yishmael. And there is a Perek in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Chav Dalet, a very short Perek you have over here on page 11. Parakuf Chav Dalet 124, Shira Ma'alais L'David, Lulei Hashem Shai Alonu, if not for Hashem being with us, protecting us, Yemer Yisrael says, Yisrael, Lulei Hashem Shai Alonu, if not for Hashem being with us, Bikum Aleinu Adam. Who's David talking about? When a man will stand up against us. Adam, he doesn't sound too frightening. Who is this Adam? Bikum Aleinu Adam, Azaychayim Bela'unu, will swallow us up alive, if not for Hashem protecting us. A few more psukim explaining that we can just escape by the skin of our teeth. And ends, Azreinu B'Shem Hashem, Oisei Shemayim V'Oretz, the only way we can be safe from this is with Hashem's help. So Reb Chaim Vital, a Talmud of the Arizal from the 16th century, he explains this Perek of Tehillim. He explains what David HaMelech is referring to over here. And he says we know that there are only four Goliaths. Namely, Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. Those are the four. He says, however, La'oid asidin Yisrael liyos ba'acharis hayam en begolus Yishmael. But there is a fifth. The four means, as the Maharal already explained to us how it fits in, four who can be called kingdoms, who can be called empires, who took it away from the previous empire, who ultimately took it away from the Jewish kingdom. But there's a fifth one, he says, and that's Golus Yishmael, and that will come in the end of days, Ba'akhris Hayyam. He says, this is what David HaMelech was referring to in Ruach HaKodesh, when he was talking about this galus. He says there's a galus chamishi, there's a fifth galus, which we weren't aware of. The kasha mikulam, it is worse than all of them. V'hu galus Yishmael anikra pere adam. V'ein nimshal alachayos, he's not compared to And he's not described as an animal or as a beast, but he's referred to as Adam. And Reb Chaim Vital writes that if you look at the other Goliaths, the four exiles that we had to endure, Kol Kavanasim Haisa Lahamir Das Yisrael, they wanted to do away with the Jewish religion. La Yasku B'Teira, we shouldn't learn Torah anymore. La Yikaimu Mitzvahs, we shouldn't do Mitzvahs. As we know throughout the Zman of Shmad, throughout history, he says, Masha'en came B'Golos Yishmol. That's not the case by the Golos Yishmol. That's not their intent. Their intent is not to turn us all into believers of their belief. All they want to do is destroy us. To destroy all of our wealth. And to swallow us up alive. Nothing should be left of the Jewish people. This is the intent of Yishmael. So this is the Adam that David HaMelech is referring to in that capital, that perek, perekuf kof dalet. We come to the end now, after understanding who Yishmael is. We left out a part of why he has such power, and that was due to Avram Avinu's tefillah. Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha, before even Yitzchak was born, he said, Hashem, just leave Yishmael, my one son. Give him strength. And his tefillah, as Lahavdil, his tefillah has helped us even throughout our day. It has helped Yishmael too, in a great way. And that's why he's able to survive, and that's why he's able to grow and be powerful through the tefillah of Avram Avinu. But from Hashem's perspective, what is the point of having Yishmael, having this galus? Because every galus, as Rav Dessler explains, every galus is to sort of to give us a mirror image of ourselves, of how we have to change. And that's why galus Bavel is different than galus Yavan, and given the Monday is different than Eday, because it's supposed to be as a message board for us of how we're supposed to change, what we're supposed to do differently. And we are in galus Eday. Even though we're scattered throughout different nations, Rabbeinu Bachi already explains, it's still called, that's all under the umbrella of Golus Edom. We're still through the Roman Empire because they destroyed our second base Hamikdash, and we're still in that Golus. And there's a lot to learn from Esav himself and how they behave and what we have to change. But in terms of his partnership with Yishmael, that is to teach us a different lesson. And we go again to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayelech. This is the end of Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasik Chav Tes. Ki Odati, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Acharei Moisi, after I pass on, Ki Hashchis Tashchisun, I see you will corrupt yourselves. V'sartim en aderech, you will stray from the path, Asher Tzivisi Eschem, which I have commanded you, V'karos Eschem Hara'a Ba'acharis Hayomim. And it will happen to you, the terrible things in the end of days will happen to you. Kisaso asara b'nei Hashem. That's because you did evil in the eyes of Hashem. L'hachisu mas yedechem. And you angered Hashem with what you did, the deeds that you did. V'karos eschem hara b'achras hayamim. And it will happen to you, these terrible things in the end of days. And the Balaturim, the next page, in page 14, the Balaturim on that pasuk, as so many times throughout the Torah, as he tries to do, he shows where else do we find this word in all of Tanakh. And he says, Vikaras, we find four times in Tanakh. Vikaras eschem hara, in this pasuk, that it will happen to you. From the word kara, it will happen. We have another pasuk with Vikaras, and that is Vikaras Shemai Yishmael. And you will call his name Yishmael. This is the Malach talking. The Malach talking to Hagar, said to Hagar, you will have a son, and I want you to name him Yishmael. A third time, Vikarasa Yishmael Amunuel, and then Vikarasa Yeshua Chaim Moisayach. And the Balaturim finishes off In this piece, he says, "Ki shetikra eschem harav v'karasi Yishmael." When it will happen that Yishmael will come in the end of days, "Shespala lokel sheyishma elecha v'shiyu imanu v'tasha v'elav b'tshuva," then v'karasi Yeshua b'chay Moisaich. When Yishmael will come, and we will daven, then the Yeshua will come, and we'll explain why this is, because there's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Lamed Beis. Here's in page 15. With the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, "Shisha nikru b'shmeisan ad shalay neiladu." There were six people whose their names were given to them even before they were born. In other words, it was already set and planned in heaven. The names of these six people. And who are they? Ve'eluhem. Yitzchak, number one, was Yitzchak. Second, Yishmael. Umayshe Rabbeinu was the third. Shlomo HaMelech. Yoshio HaMelech. And Shmoshel Mashiach. The name of Mashiach was the sixth. And these names were given before the mother or father thought of the name, what to name them. Hashem already decided what these names will be. And then He informed the people, either directly or indirectly, that this will be their name. And we go to where it's underlined a few lines later. Yishmael Minayin. How do we know Yishmael was one of those six who was given the name before? And Shanema Vikaras Shema Yishmael, as the pasuk we just read. Vikaras, the Malach told Hagar, Vikaras Shema, you shall name him Yishmael. Veloma Nikra Shema Yishmael. Why are they called Yishmael? Bilam already said, Oy mi yichya mesumayel. Who could live by Hashem placing his name, Kael, in the name of Yishmael? But why is he called Yishmael, the Medrash says. V'lama nikra shma Yisrael. Sha'asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shmaya b'kol na'akas ha'am. Because Hashem, in the future, will listen. Will hear the kol na'akas ha'am. Will hear the groan, the moan, the tefillah of the nation, his nation of Klal Yisrael. Mimasha asidin b'nei Yishmael la'asayis b'aretz b'achres hayamim. Because of all of what Yishmael will do in the land of Israel, ba'akras hayom in the end of days, we will then turn to tefillah, which will be our only hope, and then Hashem will answer us. Lefikach nikra shma Yishmael, therefore he's called Yishmael. Shanem, as it says in Tehillim, Yishma Kael v'yaneim. Hashem will listen v'yaneim, and He will answer you. The word Yishmael is comprised of two words, Yishma Kael. Really, the Torah tells us that his name was called that Kishoma Hashem Elonyeich. Hashem has heard your tefillah, but for that he could have been called Shimael. Shoma Kael, Hashem heard her tefillah and saved Yishmael. But the fact that there's a Yud means it's a future tense. Yishmael is saying Yishma Kael, that in the end of days Ba'achres Hayomim Yishmael will rise in its own ugly way, not being part of the four exiles, not being one of the beasts described by Daniel, but rather referred to as Adam, as a para Adam, and will remain that way. But the point of it is because Hashem says, this is what's going to get you out of Golus. This is what's going to light a fire under Klal Yisrael to daven in the way I want them to daven. And then Yishma Kael v'yanim. Hashem will then listen, and then He will answer us. I think Rosh Chodesh is an appropriate time to learn this idea and understand about Yishmael and Esav and the combination of the two and Yishmael's power, and that there's no way we're going to control them, and the only thing we can change is Yishma Kael V'yanim, is by taking that name Yishmael and understanding why it has Hashem's name in it. And the whole name of Yishmael is just the mirror to us, is just directly to us, that this is what we should do. Yishma Kael. You will daven, and then Yishma Kael, Hashem will listen. Rosh Chodesh is a time when we daven. We say Hallel. It puts us in a good mood. Praising of Hashem, that we are avodim to Him. Hallel the Wadde Hashem. At the same time, the Musaf Tfil of Rosh Chodesh is all begging for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to bring Musafim and Karbanis once again on Rosh Chodesh. And Yalav Yavei, which we say on Rosh Chodesh, is once again asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember Yerushalayim, remember Yir Kodeshecha, remember the Beis HaMikdash, remember Mashiach. This is what the Tfil of Yalav Yavei is all about. It's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. This is what the Tfil of Yalav Yavei is all about on Rosh Chodesh. And we're coming now in Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. We're coming to the months of Tammuz and Av, which we know to be sad months in the Jewish calendar. The months which have destruction of Beis HaMikdash. And it's at the same time, if we move ahead history in modern day, and we see that particularly in the Akras Hayamim, in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says there will be, as Chazal described, there will be much trouble, much tzara liyakov will be in the end of days. And there will be much fighting going on. And for those that can fight, then that's what they're obligated to do, to go fight. But in Parshas Matos, we'll read in a few weeks that there was a war of Bnei Yisrael against Midian. And Moshe Rabbeinu selected people from each tribe, and he selected 1,000 soldiers from each tribe. And the Pasuk says, Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, 1,000 men per tribe. And then they went out to war. And the Medrash says, the reason why it repeats itself, Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, is because for every 1,000 soldiers that were picked, there was another 1,000 soldiers that were picked. And the first 1,000 went out to battle, and the other 1,000 stayed back and davened for them. So for every person that goes out to war, and for every person that's in trouble, the expectancy of those of us who are not going out to war is to daven better and daven harder. This is also part of being Mis'abel al Yerushalayim. We read in the Haftarah just on Shabbos. Yesterday we read, Simcha is Yerushalayim. V'sisu ba kol ha-mis'ablam aleha. The Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Tainis, Sisu ba kol ha-mis'ablam, those who are Mis'abel on Yerushalayim will be zeichet to rejoice over Yerushalayim. Those who are Mis'abel, how are we Mis'abel? How do we mourn? The Tfil of Yalav Yaveh is a mourning of it as Beis HaMikdash. We're asking Hashem to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. That's a mourning of it as Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is helping us. Hashem is helping us by giving us all of these problems. Hashem is telling us, this is what's happening Ba'akras HaYamim. I'm going to send a person called Yishmael. It's a dire nation. It's an uncivilized nation. But that's what I'm going to send. And your job is Yishmael, V'yaneh, to daven to Hashem, and then Hashem will listen. And it's never... There's never enough talk about tefillah, even though we know it, even though we hear it, and we remind ourselves. But if we could push ourselves further, if we could strain ourselves a little further in these times and now in Chodesh of Tammuz, because ultimately all of our answers will be solved when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. There's no more having a Yeshua, partial salvation from the Golus, and then only to fall and slip into another one. We're finished with that. We're finished. There's only 4 gullies. And with the 4 gullies, we see there's a 5th. But there's no more than that. Now we're ready, Ikfas of the Mashiach. Rabbi Chana Wasserman, as we said in the beginning, said, if you look into the Torah, you'll see exactly what's going to happen. And all the answers are there. And we see described very clearly before our eyes what is happening, and it's all depicted in the Torah. And the one final thing that Hashem is waiting for is for us to daven harder. That's the only answer. For us to daven harder, and certainly for those of us who are, again, not on the front lines of battling for our lives, and Baruch Hashem, we don't have to, but it's more incumbent upon us to tefillah. And this is what Yishmael is all about, it's to bring us to tefillah. We should be zeichah to that pasuk in Tehillim, Yishmael v'yaneh.